Coming up on today's show.
After I had my kind of major conversion, I had to really think about, you know, what it is that my body and athletics plays a role in regard to my relationship with Christ and his church.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is CatholicSportsRadio.net. At the top of the website, there are links to Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram, so you can engage with me and the show that way. Look for those logos, those links there for whichever platform, or platforms plural, you enjoy using. A reminder, too, about the Catholic Sports Radio community. That is the Facebook group, which is free to join, and which you can also find a link for on CatholicSportsRadio.net. Yet another past guest from this show recently joined there, by the way. Remember, too, that any and all of those give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email. In the case of the latter, you can write to me via Bruce@CatholicSportsRadio.net. In case you have not heard the show the last 3 weeks, stick around because I'm going to be giving out the details again for the giveaway that is going on this month in terms of what you can win and how you can enter to win, with the deadline coming up this Friday night, June 30th. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. Now that the NBA championship and the Stanley Cup finals are in the rearview mirror, we're in that time of year where the sports calendar has emptied out. It feels like Major League Baseball is about all that's going on now, what with even college athletics being finished. Sure, in this day and age of ESPN round-the-clock programming, you can walk into a sports bar and see some form of competition being televised, although granted it might be a past Super Bowl, for example, being replayed. But diehard sports fans almost start getting a nervous twitch. They feel empty, almost worried that they need something to fill the void. This happens in our faith life, too. We get anxious about something that's on our mind, on our heart, and we feel like we have to have some solution for it. Something has to be provided for us to satisfy us in a way that will bring calm. There is one sure place to take that. In the New Testament, we read in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, quote, "Have no anxiety at all, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest has trained in bodybuilding, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, boxing, Jeet Kune Do, powerlifting, the Scottish Highland Games, and is currently going for hybrid athlete. He is the author of a book called 10 Commandments of Lifting Weights. On the faith side, he has a master's in theology from Holy Apostles College and Seminary, and earlier this year was named the Director of Extension Strategy at Benedictine College, which has been named one of the top Catholic colleges in the nation by First Things Magazine and the Newman Guide. Previously, he had served as the director of the Word on Fire Institute. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Jared Zimmerer.
Hey, good to be with you, Bruce.
Yes, thank you, Jared. As is somewhat common in sports, you have moved around a bit, but where did life begin for you? Where were you born and raised, and what was the family size, including where you fell, meaning oldest, youngest, middle, etc.?
Yes, well, we actually lived in a town called Denton, Texas, which is just on the north side of Texas, just underneath Oklahoma. But I actually went to school in a town called Munster, Texas. It's a little small German town there. And I have two brothers and two sisters. I have an older sister than myself. And then there's actually a 9-year spread before I have another sibling, another boy and another girl, and then another 7-year spread. So I'm actually 16 years older than my youngest brother. But yeah, we had a family of five.
Wow. Wow. I'm going to be shocked if you tell me this was not a traditional Catholic household you grew up in. Was that in fact the case? What was the faith life like for you as a young boy growing up in the Zimmerer household, including what did your Catholic education consist of?
Yeah, so my parents were very devout Catholics. My mother was actually a convert. She was Episcopalian growing up. But whenever I received my first communion, she came into full communion with the Catholic Church. My father, however, is a long line of German Catholics, and he was kind of challenged by the Texas Baptists down here and started really taking his faith seriously, started to understand the role of apologetics, and they got involved in an organization called the Apostolate for Family Consecration out of just outside of Steubenville, Ohio. And so for about 20 years of my childhood, we went up to the apostolate, and the catechetic materials that they had were throughout our home. But it was a normal thing for us to pray a rosary at least almost every night, at least a couple times a night. Usually once a month, we would go to confession as a family. So very, very devout. My parents actually owned and operated a Catholic bookstore for about 16 years that I worked there for about 10 years and had a lot of experiences of people that wouldn't necessarily come to a church, but would certainly come to a bookstore to debate the faith. So at 16, I was getting the hard knocks of learning how to defend the faith. And so, yeah, it was a very devout home.
I rattled off a bunch of different sports in the intro that you've trained in, but when did you first start competing in sports? What sport or sports, plural, was it? Were they? And who or what got you started into participating in sports?
Yeah, so my dad is actually a not necessarily an athlete, but a longtime weightlifter. So he didn't do sports necessarily, but he always was into long runs, and we always had a weight room at the house. And so at a very young age, I was probably first grade whenever he started getting me into soccer. He really enjoys that sport. But then right around third grade, I fell absolutely head over heels for the sport of basketball. And so I really started just putting all of my energy into basketball, but I'm also a pretty big guy, and when you're in Texas at small schools, they're going to put you in football. So in junior high, I started playing football. Really enjoyed it, but still, basketball was my number one sport. Continued to play particularly those two sports, still did track and field. Never really got into baseball or any other main sports, more football and basketball. And then in high school, continued that, but ended up getting a pretty serious knee injury playing football as a defensive end, and dislocated my knee during a play. And so I continued to, thrive in those sports. Had to wear these huge knee braces just to keep myself kind of stable. Realized that playing college athletics probably wasn't going to happen because of it, and so I started getting into bodybuilding and powerlifting during that time. So that's kind of where my trajectory went.
Yeah, and audience, let me give the list again. Jared has trained in bodybuilding, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, boxing, Jeet Kune Do, powerlifting, the Scottish Highland Games, and is currently going for hybrid athlete. Jared, were you ever thinking pro athlete? Were you ever thinking Olympian, anything like that? Or maybe were you ever thinking, I'm going to make a career out of sports in some capacity?
So, yeah, I mean, certainly in high school, I had those dreams of going on and playing at the big leagues. But once I hurt my knee, and then it happened three more times, playing sports. So I just realized, yeah, going to that level is just simply not going to happen. But I still enjoy competing. And so that's what got me into boxing. That's what got me into martial arts, is these things that I could do without worrying about my knee and still compete. But my undergrad is actually in kinesiology. Initially, I thought, which is basically sports science or science of the body. And initially, I thought I was actually going to go into coaching. But there was a bit of a hiring freeze in Texas when I graduated during that time. And so I got into business and eventually found my way into ministry. But I still absolutely love, I still coach my boys' teams. And I love being around the athletic arenas.
And for those that are new to this show, and I realize that I've been going every week for more than 4 years now, but I also like to remember that there are people who are still finding Catholic Sports Radio. The reason that I will ask a guest a question like I just asked Jared, were you thinking of going pro? Did you have your sights set on Olympics or making a career out of sports? Is because one of the pillars of my ministry is that it is great to participate in sports, to make a career out of it, to do it, said, as an administrator, as an official, as an athlete, whatever it is. but we worship God and God alone. We don't worship sport. And so I'm trying to hear from the guest, did they get to the point where the Lord, their faith, everything just took a backseat to sports, 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 and all I could think about was sports, and this was what I was quote-unquote worshiping. And so you're hearing that Jared was able to have a mature view and see, okay, listen, I'm not going to be a professional athlete, but there's still some ways that I can stay involved in it. So Jared, meanwhile, on the faith side, I'm excited to hear this. You have a major conversion story?
Yes. So when I was in college, so again, grew up in a very devout home, you know, knew all of the prayers, probably could tell you more about the catechism than most of the other kids at the Catholic school, you know, but it never went from my head to my heart until I had this moment. I had an opportunity to go to Mexico City with my father on some mission trip stuff. And so we were there for about a week and a half. And on the way, I read a book about the Cristeros War, and particularly about Blessed Miguel Pro. And then while in Mexico City, I got to see the Tilma of Our Lady of Guadalupe and really got to see the devotion of the local people, which is just unbelievable. But really the story of Miguel Pro and then seeing his shrine, that just kind of knocked me over the head of, wow, this is what the faith is. It's something that means so much that a man is willing to stare a firing, you know, squad in the face, forgive them, and accept his fate. I mean, that to me is real power, ultimately, to be able to see death as a friend almost, because you know where you're going. Mm. And to me, that just increased my devotion of, wow, this is what it's about. It's not only about the teachings. It's not only about, you know, making sure you get your prayers in, things like that. It's this level of relationship that's so clear and so beautiful that you are literally willing to die for it. And to be honest, in a world like ours that just doesn't offer that kind of opportunity, this is the thing. This is the faith that allows us to be martyrs, to appreciate and to love even those who are harming us. Mm. That is a whole nother level of freedom, ultimately.
Wow.
You know, I mean, if death itself is no longer something to be afraid of, gosh, you're freer than any other human being, you know, at that point. And so I just had a pretty major conversion there of like just thinking, you know, a real human being did this at the level of faith. And of course, Mexico City is just such an amazing place of faith and history and all that. So it really hit me.
Mm. It sounds like it's powerful. I love it. I love it. Folks, I hope you're listening to this episode the week that it's released, because we are in the final days of the entry period for the giveaway that I've been talking about over the last three episodes of this show. In case you did not hear any of the last three Catholic Sports Radio interviews, I'm going to now give the details again one final time. But first, I also remind you of what I otherwise always take a moment to mention in the middle of the show every week, which is that this is a ministry for me, and not only do I not have any staff or interns or volunteers helping me, but I don't get any income from doing this, nor do I have any sponsors, which means that I have to somehow try to find a way out of my own pocket to cover all the expenses that come with operating Catholic Sports Radio, both on and off the air, many of which I've detailed specifically on a number of episodes of this show. And so I do ask you to prayerfully consider supporting this ministry through the blue Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net, which is fast, easy, secure. Or you can contact me via email or social media and ask me for the details relative to sending a check through the mail. Anyhow, yes, there is a giveaway that the entry period will close at the end of this week. You can win a copy of the children's book that you heard Aaron Brostel mention last month on episode 224. Maybe you have a child or a grandchild that this would be good for, or a niece or nephew, or just basically some 0 to 5-year-old that would enjoy it. It's a picture book called God Made the Moonlight. You can look the book up online if you so desire, but Aaron has been kind enough to give me a copy so that I can give it away. In fact, on the show page for each of the last three episodes, and again for the page on CatholicSportsRadio.net for Jared Zimmerer's episode, I'm putting a link to the page on Aaron Brostel's website where you can see the details of her God Made the Moonlight book. All you need to do to enter is to write to me via bruce@catholicsportsradio.net and let me know that you heard about the book giveaway and would like to be entered to win. This has been running all throughout June, so get your email to me by 11:59 p.m. Eastern Time this coming Friday night, June 30th, and then I will draw one lucky winner on Saturday, July 1st, and the winner will be contacted then. I had even posted a picture recently of me holding the book on the Catholic Sports Radio Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram accounts. Get your entry in to me via email, and good luck. Jared, in the lead up to today, you mentioned in an email to me that you started speaking to young athletes through theology of the body. When was that? And just kind of elaborate more, if you would, on what that entailed.
Yeah. So basically, after I had my kind of major conversion, I had to really think about, you know, what it is that my body and athletics plays a role in regard to my relationship with Christ and his church. And so I had to kind of do some research into what the church teaches about the human body, which led me right into John Paul II's theology of the body. And so I started reading a lot of his materials about that. I started reading Christopher West's materials. I also started reading Dr. Kevin Vost, may God rest his soul, it's sorely missed. But he was also an introduction into the idea of weightlifting and athletics being a way to glorify God, you know, in a way to integrate your physical body into your spiritual life and understand it in that way. And so I started doing some writing, just started on a blog, and then all of a sudden I started getting invited to high schools to start speaking to young athletes about how to think about their bodies, how to not neglect them, not to become dualists in the sense of, hey, when you go to mass, it's all about the spirit, or when you go to athletics, it's all about the body. Mm. No, we are body and soul in this beautiful kind of mixed way, and they need to participate fully in both of those aspects of your life. And so talking more about a holistic understanding of the human person, and I would also encourage them, especially as student athletes, to think about the mind as well. So if you want to be a great athlete, you have to consider the mind as well. The smarter you are, the better athlete you're going to be. Mm. The more spiritually strong you are, the more courageous you're going to be in athletics. Mm. And so to see that holistically, which is not often taught, you know, it's just not talked about very much. And so that was kind of my invitation into that. And that was actually how I ended up getting into ministry, was through that route. At the time, I was working in insurance and started doing this just kind of on the side. But yeah, it was just a really kind of fun way to start continue my love of athletics, continue talking about athletes while I was still training and doing other things, but just started to think about this in a very different way. And thanks be to God for JP2's work, because he provided the language, he provided the vision, the phenomenology, the anthropology behind it.
Yeah, and one role of yours that I did not mention in the intro is that you worked at a Catholic parish for 6 years before going to Word on Fire. Where was the parish you worked at? What did you do there? And then talk about going to Word on Fire, how that came to be and the work that you did there.
Yeah, so during that time, kind of speaking to young athletes, a very good priest friend of mine reached out and was looking for someone for a director of adult education at St. Francis of Assisi in Grapevine, Texas. And so I took that job and ended up full-time there, and that included doing RCIA, it included doing marriage preparation, annulments, really anything that had to do with adults. So we also ran some conferences there. We had a lot of other things going on. And then during that time, through my kind of writing about athletics, I ended up getting connected with Bishop Robert Barron. He was Father Robert Barron at the time at Mundelein Seminary. And he brought me up to Mundelein to speak to the seminarians about how to reach young athletes, but then also to talk to them about, you know, when you go into these parishes, be aware of your diet, be aware of your exercise. You know, sadly, obesity rates amongst clergy is very, very high. Mm. And it's because they're so busy, but they're also always given, you know, huge platters of food. Mm. And there's, you know, just a lot of offerings there that you know, are very tempting. And so what are the kind of mindset you need to go into as a priest? But then also, if you are working with young athletes, what are the ways we need to reach them? What are the things that they're interested in that we can kind of, you know, garner a love for, so that we can have a shared language and be able to speak about the body in such a beautiful way through the JP2 Theology of the Body language? And so I was at the parish for about 6 years. I got invited to travel with Father Barron at the time a couple times, and we grew a friendship. And then we started talking about this idea of a worldwide institute. And so he ended up hiring me after about 6 years at the parish to come on, and I did some fundraising, and then we launched the Word on Fire Institute in 2018. Mm-hmm. And I saw the growth of it over about a five-year period. And of course, now I'm at Benedictine College here in Atchison, Kansas, as the Director of Extension Strategy, which in a way it's content marketing. But if you look at their grand plan called Transforming Culture in America, one of the principles, the third one, is called extension, which is basically to take all of the beautiful things happening here on campus and let the world know about it. You know, so doing a lot of work here, and we've got some great content coming out later this year as well.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Back in the intro, I mentioned a book that you did called 10 Commandments of Lifting Weights. The title certainly has my attention. Tell us about that book.
Yeah, so it's funny that I actually started off as, as I said, my father's a big weightlifter, and during college, we would lift weights together sometimes. And it's funny how fathers and sons, we barely really talked. We just sat there and lifted weights together, and was some of the best father-son activity that we could do together, you know? It's like playing catch. You don't have to talk. You just, have fun doing a physical activity together. But anyway, I started thinking through when I was doing this kind of writing on the blog of, what are some principles that maybe I could share with athletes, with weightlifters about how to keep your mind, your body, and your soul focused on the right things. So it's to say, achieve excellence. You want to go deadlift 800 pounds? Awesome. But make sure your mindset is right when it comes to your mental strength and your spiritual strength as well. So I wrote out 10 principles that are very Catholic, but ideas about, devotion to Mary, even during your time lifting weights. What are some things you can offer up to her? Say, hey, this session I'm about to do, whatever suffering I get out of it, I want to give it to you. What are the ways in which we can recognize that strength is purely a gift? We have to work. There's a lot of give back of what we have to do on our end. But the fact that your muscles work, the fact that your lungs work, the fact that your bones aren't breaking whenever you lift heavy weights, that's a gift, and it's a gift from God. So to remember that while you're lifting weights. But then simple things too, like there's the very last one is very practical of make sure you rack the weights when you're finished, because in light of an attribute of God, which is orderliness, you should be orderly in the gym too. Mm. And because oftentimes whenever we're disordered in the gym, you result in injuries. And so my mother actually saw that list and said, you really ought to do something with this. And so I ended up writing full chapters out with each of the principles. Unfortunately, it's out of print now, but I'm looking into trying to get it back into maybe a second volume or a second printing. That was the kind of genesis of it, and that was the outcome.
Yeah, that's all great stuff. And audience, I would encourage you to pray for Jared and for a second edition, a second volume, a second printing, whatever it is meant to be, because I love, Jared, the way that you tied that all together. Obviously, as someone that's doing Catholic Sports Radio and is about the mix of faith and sports, you're hitting the nail on the head with that. And when you talk about something like offering up your suffering through weightlifting, that's a tremendous example, audience, of the way that you can incorporate faith and sports in your everyday life. So that's great. It's unfortunate that it's out of print, but I got to believe that the Holy Spirit's going to move in this somehow and let something more come from all that. You say that you have a deep devotion to Mary and the martyrs. As you can appreciate, more than 4 years into doing this show every week, the Blessed Virgin, sure, we hear a lot of guests talk about having a devotion to her. So I'm curious to hear more about this choice of yours relative to the martyrs. How did you get drawn that way?
Yeah, part of it really was my interest in Miguel Pro, who was one of the Mexican martyrs in the Cristeros War, and just that level of, and of course there's red martyrdom, there's white martyrdom, there's all kinds of different ways in which we sacrifice for holiness and for our Lord, but the ones really that just took it to that level of, I've always looked up to heroes who give everything they've got for their cause. And you can't see a more clear vision of that than in the martyrs of the church. People that loved Jesus so much that, you look into the North American martyrs and what they went through with tortures and all kinds of stuff. It just, to me, it is such a clear display of the power, the freedom that comes from loving Jesus Christ, that even death itself is not something that you have to be afraid of, as I mentioned earlier. And so just having a deep devotion to that, and of course, you know, Mary being such a huge part of just being Catholic. But I've had several just personal experiences of her reaching out numerous times. It's consistently been a place that I go for refuge, a place that I go for hope. And Our Lady is always there to extend her hand to bring you to her Son. And so those two areas, I just am fascinated, number one, by the martyrs of what the church talks about, how this, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. And I just am fascinated by that. And I've just had a lot of devotion to the various martyrs and fascinated by what they go through. And just hope that, you know, ultimately it's a hope that if the day comes, I hope I have the courage and the bravery that they do.
Mm.
And whatever that looks like, whether it's white martyrdom or red martyrdom.
And folks, I feel like Jared is somebody that if you would like, I could probably have back on the show and he and I could probably have another conversation and not repeat a single thing that we talked about on this one, because Jared, I think you have so, so much to offer. And I'm glad that we were introduced. Sadly, folks, you heard Jared mention earlier in this episode, Dr. Kevin Vost, who was the guest back on episode 215, if you didn't see it, he passed away very unexpectedly, obviously, for someone that was still a tremendous athlete at the age of, I believe, just 62. And so please continue to offer up prayers for his family. I think I had perhaps only posted about it in the Catholic Sports Radio community Facebook group, but Dr. Kevin Vost is responsible for Jared and I having met and for Jared being on today. So his memory lives on, his legacy, and I think he did something like 27 Catholic books. And so he probably would have done more, but at least I'm grateful to have gotten to know him for the short time of having interviewed him for that episode and for introducing me to people like Jared. Jared, I love closing by asking guests how long they've been in the sacrament of holy matrimony and the family that they've built with their spouse. So if you would, please.
Yeah, so we've been married. My wife and I have been married for 16 years. She's from a similar area in North Texas as myself, and we have six children. So we have four boys and two girls.
Outstanding, outstanding. And folks, I want to thank Jared so much for being on the show today, and do look into the programs that Benedictine College is doing and what he alluded to. Jared, it was really great to talk to you, and I really appreciate you making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. God bless you and your family.
Oh, it was my pleasure. I really appreciated it.
And as a nod to all the time that Jared did spend, I thought we would close this week's episode with an athlete's prayer and do it together, of course, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For I asked God for strength that I might achieve. Instead, I was made weak that I might learn to humbly obey. I asked for help that I might do greater things. Instead, I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praises of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I asked for things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing I asked for, but everything I hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. Because I am among all athletes who have been most richly blessed, you see, I lost by inches, but I won by a mile. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.